I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. We're up to the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel. To put everything in proper context, we discussed the five generations of the Zugos with Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, Yoshua ben Prachin, Itai Arbeli, Yuda ben Tabai, Shimon ben Shetach, Shmaya and Avtalion, and then Hillel and Shammai. And now we go over to the generation of the Tanoim. So Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi in a very difficult time for the Jewish people when the Sanhedrin had to go into exile. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ches talks about the situation. Once the Sanhedrin is in exile, they're not allowed to rule on capital cases, and no capital cases can be adjudicated anywhere. You lose your jurisdiction because the Sanhedrin only has the right to adjudicate capital cases from the Beis HaMikdash itself. As the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'asisa al pi ha-davar asher yagidu lecha min ha-makom ha-hu, asher yivchar Hashem v'shamarta la-sos, kechol asher yorucha. So min ha-makom ha-hu, the makom is gorim. They have to be in place. And the Gemara describes, this is a time when murder was very prevalent in the Jewish people. And the Mishnah really speaks to this idea of Rabbi Gamliel trying to establish certain guidelines, certain kind of a structure and certitude. Aseh lecha rav. So Yeshua ben Prachya was the first one to say aseh lecha rav, but the Rambam says it's not exactly the same. Because that rav, back in Yeshua ben Prachya's generation, aseh lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver, rabbi danis called mekaf schos, so that was somebody who could be your teacher. This, according to the Rambam, aseh lecha rav, is somebody who can really give you very practical halachic advice, because the context here is v'histalik min ha-safik. That way you'll be able to avoid uncertainties in matters of halacha. V'al tarabel aser umados, in either consequently or as a separate but related matter, that when one takes meiser, one shouldn't do it by estimation. Because what can happen is, let's say a person takes less than a tenth, then one hasn't fully separated meiser, and what's left is really tevil. You have a very serious problem because you haven't fully extracted a tenth from meiser. So again, you see that Rabbi Gamliel is trying to impose a certain structure, a certain degree of certitude, and I think that this reflects the kind of a chaos that was going on all around the Jewish people. This was just a number of decades before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll talk about a little bit in the context of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was one of Hillel's Talmidim, who would sort of shepherd the Jewish people through, not sort of, but really shepherd the Jewish people through the Tkufa of Chorban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. I just wanted to mention that of all of the figures that we've seen, perhaps with the exception of Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel really stands out in the tradition of the Mishnah for so many things that he did. I'll just mention three very brief comments that the Mishnah has about him. So the Mishnah says that Mishameser, this is the Mishnah in Sota, Mishameser Gamliel, when Rabbi Gamliel died, batla kavod haTorah hatara v'ayira, that there was no sense anymore of what kavod haTorah is about. The Gemara elsewhere explains that until the days of Rabbi Gamliel, people would not learn sitting down. They wouldn't be doing what you're doing right now. They would say, Torah is being taught, I have to stand. They would stand for hours on end. And once Rabbi Gamliel died, the Gemara says, Yardachul Shaliolam. People became very weak. They would no longer stand while they learned. It's an amazing thing, number one. Number two, Rabbi Gamliel's sensitivity. Talk about putting your money where your mouth is. So there's a terrible thing going on in that generation that everybody knows people today are buried in Tachrich in the same shrouds. Rich, poor, young, old, doesn't matter. So in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, the problem was as follows. You could be buried in whatever you could afford. So poor people, the Gemara says that kivurasan kashem imisasan, that it was harder for the family, the embarrassment and the shame they would suffer at burial was worse than the pain of losing the relative. Because everybody would see how poor they were, that they couldn't even afford the proper tachrichen, the proper outfit, the Armani suit, whatever it was, in which to bury their relative. So Rabbi Gamliel makes a takana, and he comes out and he says, everybody should be buried in exactly the same thing so that there should be no distinction between rich and poor. But to make sure that his takana would take place, he was the Nasi of Yisrael, right? The chief rabbi of the Jewish people. And the Gemara describes that he insisted that he would be buried in Tachrichen. So he was the first. And he established a pattern for the entire Jewish people. He said, I want you to do this to me. Everybody said, what do you mean? The greatest rabbi is going to be buried in very simple shrouds. It's not appropriate. He said, I want you to do it. And if they do it to me, then poor people won't have to be embarrassed anymore. It's bad enough they have to be embarrassed in their lifetime. They shouldn't be embarrassed into death. What sensitivity? Third and finally, everybody knows about the tragedy of agunas, a terrible, terrible thing. Women who are chained, they're not given a proper divorce. So this is not a new problem. The Gemara deals with this problem. And Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that normally in matters of halacha, we always need two witnesses. Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. But he came along and said, there are so many women who have a witness coming along and saying, I saw the husband, he died. It's very sad, but at least she'd be able to move on with her life. What's the problem? You have one witness. He's saying there was nobody else around, but I saw it. I can tell you that I saw it. And Rabbi Gamliel came along and he made a takana that we're going to use eid echad in situations where otherwise a woman would be chained. Mishum iguna ikulu barabanan. If that was the only thing he ever did, he would have a legacy for all of Jewish history. But the other things that I mentioned as well, so Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel, hopefully we can appreciate it a little bit more now, that once Rabbi Gamliel died, batla kavod haTorah, that there was a sense that there was this massive yawning chasm because Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson of Hillel HaZaken, this great Torah figure, from that point on, you know, people didn't have the strength even to stand while they learned. He died, and it's like, you know, people just, they went lame. They grew very weak. And, you know, we haven't recovered. Look around. So Rabbi Gamliel left a mark on Klal Yisrael. And he, of course, appears in the first parak of Avos as